If you will turn to your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 12, it says that Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." We sing sometimes song number 420 in your books, "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And one of the verses there begins by saying, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." And I've sung that many times before I really realized, well, what was Ebenezer? If you go back and look it up, it's a reference back to this scripture right here concerning the Ebenezer or the stone of help. And what we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, to go back to verse 1 and 2, as it says, "The men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eliezer his son to keep the ark of the Lord. From that day that ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." Israel had distress over the Ark of the Covenant. And so here we see in verse, go on to verse 3, it says that Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve Him alone, He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtoreth from and served the Lord alone. Samuel calls for Israel to repent and to turn back to God and to quit worshiping the idols that they had been worshiping. And if you go on and then look in verse 5, we see that Israel here pleads to God and asks Him that He will help them. And so now they have repented and put the gods that they were worshiping behind them. And beginning in verse 5, it says that Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." And they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, "Lord, we have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the sons of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel. Then men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Bethkar. As we see here, they asked God to help them. The Philistines were coming against them and they were afraid and they said, "God help us. God help us against this enemy." And they asked for God's help and they were pleading with God for help and they kept doing this, and the result of that is that God heard them and that God did help them. And they did overcome their enemy because of the help that God gave. And again, we come to verse 12 as we just read a moment ago, and it's in this setting that we see then that Samuel takes this stone and names it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." If you go on down in verse 13, it says the Philistines were subdued and they did not come any more within the border of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. God continued to help them and continued to protect them and continued to keep them safe. And so we see that there was this memorial, this stone, to keep, let them remember really that God had helped them. Not only that, that God was continuing to help them. And when they saw that stone, that was what would come to mind, is that God was helping them. And that God had helped them. And we see that Israel continued to enjoy peace. God was a helper to Israel. And we see that very plainly in these scriptures. God helped Israel, and we can also receive help from God today. As God helped His people then, God promises that He will help His people today. And we as Christians, of course, are His people. And as the Israelites here in the Old Testament received the help of God, we receive the help of God today as well. It's important that we raise our Ebenezer. I'm not saying we necessarily need to make a stone somewhere to remind us the way that Samuel does here. But figuratively speaking, and I think that's what the song really means as we sing that, is we need to raise our Ebenezer. We need to remember the help that we have received from God. And we need to remember the help that we continue to receive from God each and every day. And when we remember those things, that's how we raise our Ebenezer. This evening I'd like to think of some ways that God helps us, and so that we can be reminded of the many ways that God helps us. Certainly I can't cover all of those here tonight in the way that God helps us, because it's probably an unending list, really. But I'd like to consider just a few thoughts this evening concerning the way that God helps us. One way that God helps us is He helps us in order to have salvation. And that's really one of the most important things that we can think of, is salvation made possible for God, from God. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 54 and 55, it says there that He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Notice it talks about that He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. The mercy of God. Really, it's the mercy of God that's the beginning of our salvation. Without the mercy of God, salvation is not possible for us. But because of the mercy of God, He has made it possible for us to have salvation. Of course, through the death Christ and through God revealing His plan to us, so that we know what we must do in order to be saved. But He remembers here, He talks about the seed of Abraham. And then if you go over to Hebrews chapter 2, what the Hebrew writer tells concerning this same thought concerning the seed of Abraham as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, begin reading with me in verse 16, it says, "For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, and we'll put these thoughts together here as we read all these verses, but 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, this actually is a quote from back in Isaiah chapter 49. And the message that Paul writes there to those in Corinth was, "An acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." That's the message of the Lord that Paul writes there. I have helped you in the day of salvation. I have helped you. Salvation would be impossible without the help of the Lord. We could not be saved without the help that God has given us. The promise of help was given to Abraham, as we read in these scriptures, and to his descendants. And of course, we know that as Christians, we are the descendants of Abraham. Jesus came to this earth. He was tempted as we are, but He didn't sin. Now, that's what makes Him different from us. He experienced temptations, but He didn't fall to those things. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. He went to the cross and died, not because of His own sins, but because of my sins and your sins. That's why Christ went to the cross. We needed that help. We needed Him to help us to have forgiveness of our sins, because we were guilty. So His help, by going willing to come to this earth and go to the cross and die the death that we deserved, makes salvation possible for us. And so the gospel message of repentance and baptism is revealed through the apostles as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. It's the Word of God that gives us the message that we're not left to just wonder what we must do for salvation. That we're not left just to guess at it and use our own opinions or reasoning or just hope that we're doing what's right. But the mercy of God and the grace of God has revealed His plan to us so that we can know. So that we know what we must do for salvation. And that's the help that God gives us. The help for our salvation. And so we need to remember always that great help that God provides for us through His grace and mercy to make salvation possible for us. But not only that, we receive help in other ways from God. We receive help from His Word. Over in Psalm 119, Look in verse 175 of Psalm 119. And the message of the psalmist here is, let my soul live and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. The judgments of God are the things that he writes, and we see his message. Those are things that can help us. The things that we read are words of comfort in the scriptures. They're words of instruction. There's words of encouragement. There's all kinds of things we get when we read the Word of God. And we can sit down and we can read the Word of God, and we can read about His judgments, and we can read about His plan for us, and we can read concerning what His will for us is. And we can read such scriptures as, I will never forsake you. And we can read the things that He promises us. And we can read about heaven and the great reward that awaits those who are faithful. And all of those things help us, don't they? They help us when we're feeling down and we're feeling depressed. We can open up the Bible and read these great things. And they comfort us. And they help us. And we receive great help from the Word of God. And not only from the Word of God, but we get help from the providence of God. Notice over in Acts chapter 26, verse 22, that Paul here is standing before King Agrippa. And he's describing to King Agrippa his ministry and what he has been going through and the teaching of the Word. And as he talks to Agrippa here in verse 22, he says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing to both small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Notice Paul tells Agrippa, I have received help from God. What help had Paul received? It's kind of interesting there. Paul was in a bad situation, really, imprisoned. But yet he was still talking about the help that God had given him. It's a good perspective, I think, that Paul has. But we see that he understood the providence of God. God was controlling the fact that everything was happening to Paul, really. He was controlling what led Paul to be a prisoner in the first place. And by Paul being a prisoner, it led him to be able to take the Word of God and take the gospel to Rome. And it led him to even be able to stand before Agrippa even at that very time and to teach King Agrippa at this time. That was the providence of God. Paul knew that even though maybe it wasn't the best of experiences and the best of situations for him to be imprisoned, he also knew that there was God acting in that. And he also understood that there was some good that could come from that. Think of Paul when he was in prison before, he and Silas. And they were singing praises to God. And of course, we know the good that came from that as well. The Philippian jailer and his household became Christians. It seems like Paul, in every situation, could understand that, yeah, God has put me here for a reason. And that the providence of God, we see, was acting in the life of not only Paul, but many of the other apostles and the people that we read about in the Scriptures. And I believe the providence of God acts the same way for us today. That He puts us sometimes in positions and in certain situations that will allow us to help other people. And I really believe that we need to understand the help that God can give for us through the providence that He provides. The things that He provides. That's what providence really is. And God does supply those things for us. Something else that we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Hebrew writer tells us some other help that we can receive. The help that we receive from prayer. Talking to God, as we talked about before, we receive help from the Word of God, and that's really God speaking to us. But we also receive a lot of help when we speak to God, that part of the communication with our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may both obtain mercy, and notice this, find grace to help in time of need. That's what prayer gives us. When we come boldly to God, we can find help. We can find help when we have those times of need. When we're discouraged and we're suffering, we can go to God, and He will help us. He will help us overcome those things. And as we said before, He has promised He will never leave us and never forsake us. And so therefore, we can have confidence and we can boldly approach God, knowing that He will help us, knowing that He is there and He has promised that He will. And again, going back to His providence, He will provide us with the things that we need. He helps us with those needful things, those things we need. Philippians 4 and verse 19 adds this, as Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it also points out that God can do more than we can even imagine. More than we can even comprehend, that's what God can do. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, Paul writes, "To Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." He can do more than we can imagine. He can do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can even imagine. And so that's the help that is there that God gives us. That's the help that He gives us each and every day. So we understand that the Lord helps us in many ways. And as I said before, these are only a few. We could go on and on with the ways that the Lord helps us each and every day. But we also need to realize something about the Lord's help. The Lord has conditions, really, that He puts on His help. And we need to consider that as well. If you go back to 1 Samuel 7, where we began the lesson earlier, it talks about, again, the children of Israel, but notice again back in verse 3 and 4, that Samuel spoke to the house of Israel saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth and among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve Him alone, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." Notice Samuel says, you've got to do a few things. God will do His part, but you've got to do your part. You've got to get rid of these idols. You've got to quit serving them. You have to repent. You have to turn back to God. There are certain things you've got to do, Samuel says. And that's really the message for us today as well. There are certain things that we have to do. God tells us, and we have to obey Him, and we have to trust Him, and we have to be faithful to Him. And only through that obedience can we really be assured of the help that God gives us. As the children of Israel there had to turn and repent and quit doing the things that were displeasing to God and were sinful. That's what we must do today as well. That we must turn back to God, that we must repent, that we can't continue in sin. And we must turn to God and obey Him and serve Him. We see that we have help for our salvation, as we said before, but God doesn't give it unconditionally because we have to do something for it. We have to do something in order to obtain that salvation. It doesn't mean that we're earning it in any way, and it doesn't mean that we deserve it, but there are certain conditions that God has placed on it. And so as they were told to repent and turn to God, that's what we must do as well. We must repent, and as we're told in the New Testament, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The way to receive help for our salvation, to have forgiveness of our sins, it's stated very plainly there in Acts 2, or as Jesus says in Mark 16 and tells His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. That's where salvation is found, when you believe and are baptized as Jesus commands. So we understand that the Lord is there. He's willing to help. But there are certain conditions that have been put on that help that He gives. As it was for the Israelites back here, as we read in 1 Samuel 7, they had to do certain things in order to receive the help that God was given. That's what God expects of us as His people today as well. That we also must do certain things. That we must also be committed to Him. That we must repent and have that devotion to Him. That's what God expects of us, as He did His people of the Old Testament. We also need to realize something else about help, that this help comes from God and not from man. Over in Psalm 146, and verse 3, beginning in verse 3, here the psalmist writes, "Do not trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day his plan perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God." You know, people let us down sometimes. Sometimes we think a lot of people, and we think that, you know, they're going to be there for me no matter what, and sometimes they're not. And that can be very heartbreaking and discouraging. Ultimately, man, we may think we could count on them, but not all the time we can. with God, there's no question that when we put our faith and our trust in Him, He's going to be there for us. And so our help comes from God, and that help is one that we don't have to wonder if it's really going to be there or not. It is going to be there because that's what God promises us. Again, I will say it, I will never forsake you is God's promise to us. I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. God keeps that promise. Over in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." When it comes to salvation, we can't count on any man to help us with that, can we? We can't listen to what they say. We have to listen to what God says. And as was the case here with Israel, He says, "For the salvation of Israel, it's in the Lord, our God." That's where it can be found. It's where our salvation is found today as well. It's only in the Lord. It's only in God's message. We can't go what man tells us that we must do for salvation. We can't go on what we think or what we feel. It must be what God tells us. And again, we go back and get that help from His Word, with what He wants us to do and what He expects of us. Seeking help from man is going to lead to disaster. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, I think we see a great example of this, of going to the wrong source for help and the disaster that it led to. In 2 Chronicles 28, again reading with me in verse 16, and it says, "At this time Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help." Here he's asking the wrong person for help, really. Verse 17, "For again the Edomites had come and attacked Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines had also invaded the cities and the lowlands and the Negev of Judah." And we go on to verse 19, "The Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel. And He brought a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord." Verse 21, "Although Ahaz took a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the palace of the king and the princesses and gave it to the king of Assyria, it didn't help him. In the time of his distress, the same king Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Lord. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, and said, 'Because the gods of the kings of Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help.' But they became the downfall of him and all of Israel." Ahaz went to the king of Assyria to help him. It led to disaster, as we see there in verse 23. It led to the downfall of him, it says, and of Israel. Why? Because he went to the wrong place. He needed help, but he went to the wrong place. He went to the king of Assyria when he needed help, when he should have went to God. Had he gone to God, then things would have been much different, no doubt. But because he went to the wrong person, because he went to a man instead of God, it was disaster. It was his downfall, as it says. And it was the downfall for all of Israel. We need to make sure when we need help that we will look to God, that that's our source of help. And especially in spiritual matters, that's who we have to depend on. And again, the help that we receive through the Word of God to give us instruction concerning the things that God wants for us. Seeking help from men may lead to disaster, and certainly it did for King Ahaz. As the Israelites received help from God, then it's important that we look today for the help that we can have from God as well. We look for help for our salvation, because that's the only place that we can have salvation, is that help that God gives us. We look for help what we receive from God's Word. And we need to remember the help that we receive through prayer. Sometimes we don't have help through prayer because we don't pray. In order to receive help, we have to pray. The help for the things that we need is made available from God. Matthew 6, He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Message there is the things that you need will be supplied to you if you put God first. God promises that help for us. We must have a commitment and devotion to God, though, in order to receive the help that He offers. The way that Samuel told the Israelites that you need to to repent. You need to quit worshiping these false gods. And you need to turn to God and be committed and devoted to Him. It's really the same message to us today as well. That if we want the help of God, then we need to turn away from some of the idols that we worship. And even though they're not the gods and things that they looked at, but we can be guilty of idol worship as well. Anything that comes between us and God is an idol. And we're not willing to put those things away from us sometimes. And as a result, then we fail to get the help that God provides because of that. We need to be willing to, like the Israelites, put those things away from us and repent and turn to God and receive the help that He offers. The only help that we can completely rely on is that God gives. We can't completely rely on man, but we can on God because of the promises that He makes. So let us raise our Ebenezer, so that we're always mindful and keep in remembrance the help that we receive from God, that we have received in the past, but not only that, that we receive each and every day. Because we receive help from God every day. Let's be mindful of that. Let's always keep that Ebenezer in mind. Let's always remember the help and be appreciative and thank God for the help that He gives us. And not only that, to live our lives so that we show that appreciation to God for the help that He offers.